All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Scientology Fair Game. Hi, Mikey.
Hi, Lily. How are you today?
I'm good, Mike. Thank you. Do you want to introduce our most fabulous guest?
Yes, I do. Our dear friend and star of one of the most popular episodes of the Aftermath show, Mary Kahn, is with us today. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
It's nice to see you, Leah. It's really nice to be here.
I just wanted to say thank you to you for your willingness to continue in this fight with us. So,
You're welcome. I would do anything for you, Leah.
Thank you, Mary.
You know, there's not too many people that will expose the abuses as much as you have. And to take, I'm sure you're taking a lot of heat that so many people are unaware of. So anything for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, Mikey, let's go a little bit through our history with Mary. I mean, you guys are very close friends, and Mary was friends with and still is friends with my mom. And I remember when my mom first said, hey, I want you to talk to my friend Mary, you know, Kahn. She's, you know, she told me that you had reached the highest level in Scientology, which is operating Thetan 8 as well. My mother reached that. And that's, you spent a lifetime in Scientology as well, your family.
Yeah.
And a lot of money. And I don't think people really still get what Scientology means to be a Scientologist. It's 2.5 hours a day minimum. But when you get to the level of OT7, can we talk about that for a moment, Mike? Because the reason why I bring that up is because my mom and Mary were close. They knew each other because they were on the same level, and these paths cross a lot, right? There's not many OT7s running around the planet in Scientology. And most of the OT8s who reach this top of this Scientology bridge end up leaving. I mean, is that...
Absolutely.
I mean, if that doesn't say something to Scientologists...
It speaks volumes, but Scientologists will never understand or acknowledge that. They won't even see it. That sort of thing is what goes on in the world of Scientology. The clearly, obviously insane stuff and evidence that things are not the way that they are portrayed to be. And yet Scientologists turn a deliberate blind eye to that sort of stuff.
You would think that Mary's son, right? Her son who has, and still to present day, is disconnected from Mary and his mom and his dad and his brother, who all left Scientology. You would think that he is striving to achieve this elite level, right? You would think that once your mother accomplished that and turned back to you and said, stop, 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 danger here. Do not continue on this path. It is not what it claims it is. You would think that your sons and daughters would believe you. You would have enough, of a relationship, trust. But Scientology does a very good job of separating families, even when you're in.
Yeah. You know, when you get into Scientology, basically you have started walking down a path of traps. Right. And if you're in 40 years, you got married and now you have kids, right, and they're in it, you are trapped, really trapped. Right. Because if your husband's in, your kids are in, now you've got trappings within trappings. And so a bit of what I wanted to touch on anyway relates to what you're talking about. Being on, doing OT7, that level, and 8, the two highest levels, were horrible. Seven is so abusive in that there's a couple of things that started happening that were waking me up. One is, and this was verified after I was out, one is they pad your program. And let me see if I can make sense of that. In other words, at certain points, it takes 1 week to get through a six-month check. As I went along, it took longer and longer and longer. Now, somebody within the church would lie and say, well, that's because she needed it. Here's one of the traps. You can never question what your case supervisor writes for your program. If you question it, that means you have overts. Everything leads
to it. And that's somebody, just to clear up a few things here. When you're on OT7, this is a level in Scientology that you pay for that takes 10 plus years to do. So you are.
Yeah, for most people, but I don't know what. For me, it was less. It was 4 years, which is really fast.
Mary, you can sugarcoat it all you want. 4 years, 10 years. You're
it's hell. It's
exactly. Hell. You have to do this Scientology process 5 times a day. You have to have a special safe in your home that only you have access to. If you are traveling,
bolted to your foundation.
Yeah, bolted to your foundation. You have to be in a soundproof room so nobody hears you not talking to yourself because you're talking in your mind to other beings. You're talking to other beings, but in your mind. And there's a whole bunch of crazy criteria that you have to have a briefcase. If you have to travel with your confidential materials, it has to be attached to your body. But, and as you said, the six-month check, you have to go to Florida, to the Mecca of Scientology, no matter where you are on the planet. You have to report to Florida, flag, every 6 months at your expense. You can't stay in a motel. You can't eat food somewhere else. You got to stay at Scientology grounds, and you also have to pay for that. Some people have to quit their jobs if they work for normal people because, like you said, they pad your stuff. They tell you it's only going to take you 2 days to do your six-month check. It turns into a week, 2 weeks. And, you know, a normal boss is going to, if you're lucky. And you have to do this until my mother did this for 10 years. And so did my stepfather. They did this for 10 years. And you're talking about a case supervisor. That's the person who's basically in charge of your Scientology bullshit counseling. And you're right. And go ahead. So go from there, Mary.
So that person's supposed to understand your case. So they are the case supervisor and they write these programs. But as Hi Levy, or maybe I shouldn't say names, other
people
have it.
No, it's okay. Who's Hi Levy?
You want to say, Mike?
Hi Levy was a very well-known registrar at the Flagland Base in Clearwater.
A salesperson. A
fundraiser for Scientology who left and told the stories of what was really going on behind the scenes on how they were making money and how the coordination between the people that raise the money or take in the money and what was called the technical staff or the case supervisors who were manipulating the Scientology proceedings in order to make it so that people had to pay more.
Right. So, in other words, it wasn't about me. It wasn't about helping me. It was about making money off of me. And somehow they have learned how to qualify people. I shouldn't say somehow, but they qualify people, like used car salesmen qualify people that come in, and they can figure out if they're a potential buy or whatever. So they know how to qualify people, how much they can get out of you or how much they can ream out of you. And it became about how much money they could program, how long the program would to get as much money as possible.
Right. Is that when it began, Mary, when you saw Hi Levy's post and, you know, he did a posting, I think he did a video Was that the beginning of it, where you started to question things?
I was already questioning it. He just validated what I was
what suspecting. You already knew. Right.
Because there's a point when I first got in where it was fun for me and I enjoyed the auditing I was getting. And then it gets more and more grueling. And then when I was on seven, it every time you go in, it's not just going in. Also, what you have to do is grueling. And I would like to clarify for people what you mean, Leah, when you talk about interrogations. Yeah. Interrogations are the mental equivalent of waterboarding. Right. They are torture. This goes on for hours and hours and hours. And Mike has had an aspect of it up at Ant that he's talked about. But it's hours and hours of bullshit. This is not cleansing your soul. This is not making you a better person. It is grueling. And this is why most people, when you hear them talk about, if they're on seven, and you hear them talk about finishing seven or doing seven, you're not hearing big, fantastic wins, big, fantastic things that have happened to them. You're hearing about how they're going to finish. Oh, I can't, right. You know, well, maybe next time I come in, I'm going to finish. That's because it's a slice of hell. Right. And doing it at home, these five sessions you're talking about are nothing compared to the crap you're going to put up with when you, I live in Clearwater, so it wasn't horrible because I live here, but
right.
It's horrible going into Flag. And horrible, horrible.
But can you explain to our listeners what it is that you're doing? Why is it so excruciating?
First of all, when you walk in the building, there are cameras everywhere, and almost every person that has any quotas, a Sea Org member, I should say, right. That have any quotas where they have to raise money, they know you're in the building. And they have got their feelers out for you. So that's one thing, is you cannot walk down the hallway. You can't go to the restaurant. You can't go to the restaurant without somebody coming in and needing to talk with you. And okay, that's that aspect. And there are many different Sea Org functions where their feelers are out for you. Right. And you have this routing form where you have to go to these people.
And yeah, you're forced to visit them because you can't get your counseling. I mean, it's literally like, if I just give people an example, it's like, let's say you're going to church. Let's say you're going to a Catholic church, Christian church. It's like right before you walk in, the Monsignor walks up and hands you a piece of paper and they say, you can't walk into the building. I know you want to go light a candle. I know you want to pray. I know you want to, you know, do confession, whatever it is, right? Until you go visit the sales department and you're not allowed to continue until you go to the point A. Then after you go to that sales department, I need you to go to now the other sales department because there's different sales departments in Scientology, right? Because they have 50,000 front groups that you are forced to donate to, which, by the way, it's set up as a trap because – here you are on OT7, you spent your whole life, all your money, all your time, you forfeited birthdays, anniversaries, vacations, anything you could think of that's pleasurable in life, you forfeited it to pay for Scientology and to be in Scientology, right?
Yeah.
So you're at the finish line, basically, and now that's a jeopardy because these little sales departments report to the people who give you the green light to be done, saying Mary and her family didn't donate to this thing. Mary and her family, and when they could, they have a home that they could refinance. They have this. They have credit. They're driving nice cars. They should be able to sell those cars and give it to the International Association of Scientologists or to whatever front group. And so it is booby-trapped. I mean, that's what I can't give a better analogy other than imagine walking into your church. That's free, by the way. Scientology is not free. And being told you cannot get a service until you go see these people and donate money. Is that right. Is that a good analogy, Mike?
Yeah, it's a great analogy.
Okay.
I mean, I think that one thing that people then start wondering is, if this is all so terrible, why is anybody there?
Right. Well, here's the good news, Mike. Well, I'll tell you the good news, Mike. There ain't a whole lot of motherfuckers there. And that's the fucking truth.
Thanks to you, Leah. Thanks to you, Mary. And Mike. And yeah. Because you started exposing this kind of thing. And you can only pummel on people for so long. Right. And you know, you don't, as I talked about earlier, the traps that you step into. Because now I'm in a trap where I can't say,
how you really
fuck
feel.
Off. Right. Leave me alone. Because then you get a report written on you. Right. Then you have to go to the ethics officer, and then you'll probably find yourself paying either for more auditing.
Interrogations.
Or, that's right, or doing lower conditions, which is also a form of abuse. It's
and
degrading.
And lower conditions are what, Mike? How would you explain lower conditions? Making up to the group?
It's like
a court martial.
To do penance for your supposed sins, and those
it ain't
sins
a rosary.
Are things that the organization says are sins. They're not necessarily what you think may be sins. They're what the organization perceives or declares to be harmful, wrong acts. So you have to make up the damage for that.
Right.
But
and
I
have to
just
want to
add something in here before we go on, because there is an aspect to this which is really important, which is the reason that you don't say go fuck yourselves and just literally walk out the door is not so much what they're going to do to you by sending you to the ethics officer, et cetera, because you could easily not go to the ethics officer too. The fear is that by saying that you will lose your family, you will lose your friends, and in the mind of good Scientologists, you will burn in hell for eternity. I mean, we can't put aside the brainwashing that goes on, and you know, disconnection is not brainwashing, but the idea that Scientology is going to take you to this place of ultimate salvation and spiritual freedom, and that by walking away from it, you are destroying your eternity and giving up your only hope for total freedom, is a very, very powerful motivating factor that people who are still in Scientology will tell you that that's the reason they continue to be there. They believe that this is where they're heading. And it sort of goes to this point that you were making earlier, Lee, that when you reach the ultimate top of the bridge in Scientology, OT8, and you find out that, well, this ultimate spiritual freedom ain't quite what it's cracked up to be.
Right.
That is when the mirage shatters for a lot of people, because they go, that ain't what's happening here. I am not achieving that. And when you take that motivating force away, people are more likely to then walk away willingly.
Right. So now there's a lot of speculation about what Operating Thetan 7 is, OT7, and what OT8 is. And I don't think anybody really knows the truth. They don't know if what they're seeing on the internet is true, what they saw in Going Clear is true, what they've seen on our show is true. Mary, could you, in basic terms, not in Scientology's, explain just briefly what OT7 and 8 means and what you thought as a Scientologist you were going to get? Because, Mike, I think you brought up a good point in our show many times, and you continue to say this, is they dangle the carrot. Even if you go to your people in the church, you know, in the organization, I shouldn't say church, Mary, you'll agree with this. when you go to somebody who might be, you know, part some human part of them, where you can actually have a conversation about your doubts or your concerns, a lot of a few of them will tell you, wait till the next level, wait till the next thing, you know. Right. And so Mike has said this often, that they dangle the carrot of things will get better, which is why Paul Haggis stayed in for so long, because he thought, this shit is crazy. I'm hoping the next thing is not this. Right? And you figure, wow, I'm already, you know, 100,000 in at this point. All my family's in it. I'll lose a whole community. I'll lose my family. I'll lose my job, whatever it is. You know, there's a lot at stake. It's not just about walking away.
Plus you have people.
Yeah.
Well, plus you have people that say and that tell you how great it is.
Right.
But that's because anybody that doesn't think it's great isn't allowed to say it.
To say it.
Or it's the same threat of punishment, of suffering, of disconnection.
It's 1984. It's George Orwell's 1984. You cannot speak. It's like you're walking around a bunch of fucking like body snatchers. Remember that movie, Mike, in the 70s? The body snatchers. That's what it reminded me. Like, it's like if you like see somebody in the hallway and you're like, fuck, did you do OT3? You're scared. Then I'd be like, aah! You know, you think they're going to start pointing at you. Alarms are going to go off. And that's basically what happens. Do you know what I mean? You're like, could be with a friend, your own mother at the Scientology restaurant and goes, this shit crazy. What the fuck is going on?
Right.
Okay. No. And they write reports and you're like, please don't say anything. Right. And that's it. It's exactly. Like they literally sweep you up and bring you to the basement. And cause that is where the Department of Ethics is. It's in the basement. They literally sweep you up into a basement somewhere. And you're like, I'm sorry. I looked on the internet, you know? So Mary, can you tell people just briefly, what is OT 7 and 8? What are you dealing with here? What do you think you're getting?
Well, OT 8 is supposed to handle amnesia on the whole track. Frankly,
that mean, Mary, in English?
God,
it means you're supposed to be able to recall all your past lives and experiences, the things that you have supposed to have forgotten by reason of various things that Hubbard said happened to you between your lifetimes, et cetera, all that's supposed to be erased.
Well,
and you're supposed to have a perfect recall of everything that's ever happened to you for the last 74 trillion years or whatever number it is that Hubbard says.
I think it's
75. Yeah.
Mike.
Yes.
And by the way, Mike is not exaggerating, everybody. So when you think that you're supporting some amazing, oh, it's not crazier than, and it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's an abusive, toxic cult. It is not a religion. There is no religion on earth that has a department solely dedicated to destroying people who leave and speak out. So please know the difference between somebody having faith and Scientology. They are two completely, they shouldn't even be in the same fucking sentence. But Mike, you know, you gloss over the implant station, and could I explain what an implant station is? Where they implant ideas.
May the force be with you.
Okay. All right. And you guys can tell me. This was my understanding. Maybe this is why I'm not a good Scientologist. Maybe something was missed. Maybe they're right.
You have a misunderstood word.
I have a misunderstood word, which is what they claim most of the time. Okay. At the implant station, this is where you were drugged and hypnotized, and you are shown images of angels and God and all other things that are not your real memory. These are not these are things that are given to you by the psychiatrists so that you can forget who you really are in another lifetime.
That's pretty good.
So it's really the evil psychiatrists, guys, who have been around, like Mike said, for 74 trillion years. guys.
Okay. Yeah, the psychiatrists are the reason for
this amnesia,
all the evil and badness. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Mary. So you're supposed to remember. So you're supposed to, at the end of OT8, which is roughly the cost of what, $400,000 by this point in your Scientology career. I'm not talking donations that you've given to front groups.
Right.
More, Mary?
Yeah. I mean,
more?
Yeah. OT8's really hard for me to explain because, first of all, I didn't want to go at all, and I really didn't have a choice because they got to my husband, and he gave me his that was sitting there, and he paid for the ticket, and so now I'm trapped. I can't say, right, I don't want to go.
Because it's on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, not just physically, but also you're saying you're trapped because now they have your husband saying, Mary, you should go. It's the right thing to do. Right.
Right.
Right. And it would be a problem, Mary, to Scientology that you didn't want to continue because you're supposed to re-sign right after you finish a course in Scientology and pay for your next service. If not,
it's called an outpoint.
Yeah, it's called an outpoint. But Mary, what did you believe you were getting? Just that you would have total recall of all of your lifetimes? Why would you want that?
Going in, you really don't know what you're going to get. And then when you're sitting there doing it, for me, sometimes I read what other people did, and maybe I just forgot. But to me, it was discovering the very thing I thought I was doing to begin with, which was making it all up. It wasn't my track. It was another being's track, or it was a false track, or maybe some snippets of it were. So that was kind of like, honestly, it was kind of like, really? That's what I've been trying to say since Dianetics, that I think I'm making this up.
It's such a fucking mind fuck. It's such a mind fuck. Because Scientology says, like you said, Mary, in Dianetics, you have this thing in your mind that you're not aware of. And you're like, do I? Yep. And we are going, guess what, though? Here's the good news. We have the anecdote. We have the solution to get rid of it. Okay, but I didn't know I had it. Well, you do have it because L. Ron Hubbard's a scientist and he found this thing that you have this thing that's destroying your life, right? Then you're forced to make up these scenarios that you're paying for, make them up because they say it's there, right? So they sit there and they egg you on to tell fantastic stories. Then they say, well, when you're clear, which is the first big part of the middle part of the bridge, right? This is right before you get onto the OT levels where you find out that your thoughts and your body is made up of, you know, aliens, not aliens, but Thetan's beings, right? Other spiritual beings.
Right.
And so when you get to clear, they tell you the realization for you to attest to this clear, this big part of Scientology, is for you to say that you made that shit up. That's the realization that gets you to the next level. That you made it up.
You
mocked it up.
You created it. Yeah.
But you're like, I didn't create. You told me I had it. So then I said it, and then the same shit goes for OT8, the end of the bridge. That you mock this up. Is that fucking insane? I mean, how this is not fraud? How this is not all of those things, Mike, I'll never understand. Because it's not a faith.
Right.
Well, it is.
These are promises made. No, you have to pay for it. There's promises made, an exactness. They even have it spelled out on the bridge. At this point, you will be able to freely communicate to any person on any subject. Well, Scientology, bad fucking news for you. You can't talk to your own parents. You can't talk to anybody who opposes Scientology beliefs. You didn't achieve it. And yet they're running around going, it's an exact science.
You certainly can't talk to a Scientology official about your grievances when you're
in. Babe, you couldn't talk to your husband about your grievances. No. You couldn't talk to your own kids. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's not true. Blah, blah, blah. They can't talk freely on any subject. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Okay, so Mary, you start to have doubts, and because we want to talk about fair game, I know, because the fair gaming starts pretty early. If you ever communicate a grievance, is that what you wanted to talk about?
Well, fair gaming, I guess by definition, is something that's done to a critic of the church, somebody that normally you think of as somebody that's already out or that's been declared a suppressive person, that's sure. out, or somebody that was never in but is a critic of the church, and then they do these things to get you to shut up, basically.
Right.
But, you know, there's layers of that going on before you, like when I became disgruntled, for instance, they really circle the wagons around my husband, my son, and all your friends. In fact, they ask my husband, who are your friends? And he gives them a list, and they call all those people in.
Yeah.
Because they're going to let, and I, in the meantime, I'm like, my head is got steam coming out my ears, and I'm just trying to not get declared so I don't lose my family.
Right.
That's all I'm thinking about. But inside, I'm a mess. And I don't know what's going on out here.
Right.
And that's why your show is so great, because you let people on the inside that maybe watch it know that, you know, you better cover yourself. You better get people on board. And there are things that I would do differently now, knowing what the church, this is an aspect of fair gaming, because they're telling my son lies about me. They're getting my husband, you know, Mary's off the rails. She's gone to the dark side. Right. She's got overts. We got to get her back
basically,
in.
Basically, they're saying you've gone psychotic. Basically, telling people that love you, your family, that you've gone nuts, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that you need help.
And the only hope to resolve that is
Scientology.
Scientology. So you've got to get Mary back in here so that we can help her through this troubling time that she's now gotten herself into due to her overts and withholds.
Now, Mary, the thing is, but was it right after OT8? I know that you had your concerns before, but when you left OT8, when you were done with OT8 and left that ship, you were just done. You were just trying to toe the line.
I was just trying to quietly walk away.
Right.
At that point, but they wouldn't leave me alone. Right. You know, then it becomes no. It's your duty to be on staff. It's your duty to be part of an OT committee. And you need to come in. This is one thing I thought I would never have to do again, was go in for a briefing, which is go in and get pummeled for money. Right. And I thought, and my husband had to go in to the organization, and I knew he was going to get briefed. And so I said to him, listen, I know you're going to get briefed, and all I'm going to tell you is you don't need me there. Because I thought, they're going to call me in. They always want the sponsor. I said, you don't need me there. You can give them whatever you want. It is okay with me. Because I didn't want a phone call.
Right.
I didn't want me to be a reason. I wanted nothing to do with this. And for some reason, now I know why, but I didn't get it at the time. They had to have me there. They were showing up at my house to get me in. So the way they got me in, this is what I'm talking about, these layers, these levels of pain and suffering that they inflict, is they had my husband call me right there in the International Association of Scientologists office and call me and say, hold on. So he hands the phone to this IAS representative.
Salesperson. Uh-huh.
Yep. And they've already been pummeling me for a week or two now. And she's badgering me. Come in. And finally, I just popped. And I said, okay, I don't want to come in because I know what you want. I know that you're just telling me some story and then you want money and I don't want to give you any. Right. And she went, well, I'm going to write you up. Which, of course, is what you try to avoid. And I went, fuck you. Like,
I mean, this is not, you know, for people who are listening, this is not normal it's very normal to me now, but it's not what we would typically do as parishioners. We might want to say those things, but to avoid having to be interrogated and at our expense, we usually said nothing, or just gave the money.
But I just had it with all this. I don't think people, or obviously the IAS or the DOJ, do not understand the shit the church puts you through to get money out of you.
Right.
And you just have no recourse. So anyway, I go in because I had a report written on me, and now you have to go in. If you don't go in when the ethics officer calls you in, then it's a committee of evidence. If you don't go in on a committee of evidence, then it's a declare. It's a see the level. It's you're there.
Yeah. Now you lost your family. The threat is always there. You're living your life through threat and intimidation. Boom. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is what happens. So I go in. Yeah. My ethics officer, who I actually liked, she reads this stupid report and goes, "Oh, this is silly, but this is a ruse." Right. They have the IAS representative waiting outside of her office to take me down to their office where my husband is sitting, where they pummel me for the next 5 hours to get money out of us. And you want to know why they wanted me there? Because I hated it so much, I would have given them every dime to get them to shut up and leave me alone.
Right.
That's why they want me there. My husband would sit there and go, "No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so." It's Mary. Right. They could break down Mary.
Right.
And we eventually end up giving $50,000. Wow. It just kills me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so mad at the Department of Justice for all the stuff you've... I'm sorry to segue here. I just get so mad with all the stuff that you have exposed that is legitimately a crime. Right. Now, what happened to me, what I just told you about, is not legitimately a crime. Because as a religion, they're allowed to do this.
Right.
But come on. You have enough to stop this.
Yeah. Well,
DOJ or whoever.
For those who don't know, I mean, Mike, I think you should pick this up here.
You mean like that this is widespread? It happens everywhere in every Scientology organizations. And there are people who, beyond the experience of Mary, because while $50,000 is a lot of money, there are people who have gone horrendously into debt that they could not afford. They have had credit cards taken out on their behalf and maxed out, and then end up owing $100,000 or $200,000 on maxed out credit cards that they have no way of paying off, or taking second mortgages or whatever. And there is a million of these stories. As many people as there are who have sat in front of a registrar in Scientology are as many stories as there are of being abused and manipulated and mind-fucked into handing over money that should never have been handed over, because it was either A, for something that had absolutely no value, even though it was promised that it was going to be used for something, but then didn't get used, or B, it was outside of the person's comfort zone for their own financial well-being. And in truth, I often say that, you know, the trapping of Scientology What is David Miscavige after? Is he after money? I never say that the answer to that is yes. I always say that what he's really after is power. And power consists of the ability to get people to do things that are not in their best interest, but are in yours. And so money is a measure of that power, but it isn't the end goal. The goal here is to get people to do things and control them and have power over them, and that they therefore will give you money that they shouldn't be giving you. And that's exactly what Mary is talking about, and is exactly what happens in Scientology organizations all over the world. And there are dozens, hundreds of reports of specific instances where this has happened. And yes, Mary is right. You hide behind the First Amendment, and you and Scientology hides behind the fact that this is a religious decision, and courts and law enforcement may not entangle themselves in matters of religious policy, but that is a cloak that is a dirty, rotten trick, because the truth of the matter is that the proof that this is not really religious activity is exactly what you said, Leah. This is actually a business. This is modeled on a business model. The United States Supreme Court said that this is a business model, that paying for services on a fixed price for an exact promised end result is, by definition, a quid pro quo. It is not a legitimate tax-deductible donation. And that decision from the United States Supreme Court still stands, but it has been overturned by the administrative practice of the Internal Revenue Service granting Scientology tax-exempt status as a religious organization and granting deductibility of, quote, donations to Scientology, i.e., payments for services to Scientology are tax deductible. They are in complete violation of the United States Supreme Court. And how that has happened, I have no idea. And every constitutional law expert that I have ever spoken to about this subject just sort of throws up their hands and goes, I don't get it. I've never seen this before. And that is where we sit with Scientology today. They go on abusing people and taking their money and doing horrendous things that normal people would not be able to get away with because they hide behind the First Amendment.
And when people ask, yes, no, not rant at all. And when people ask us, how is this still happening? We say, good fucking question. Look, Mike and I are not lawyers. We don't have a chest full of money like Scientology has. We don't have Sea Org members working around the clock for us to find ways to expose Scientology. It is a small group of people just trying to get the word out so that people who can do something fucking do.
But what's so frustrating about it is that the Department of Justice of the United States government has more lawyers than you can shake a stick at. And they have investigators. Well, they have the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They have the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. All of these things at their disposal. And they could, in fact, be investigating and prosecuting these things if they were motivated to do so. So that's why we always say,
but
Leah,
Mike, what would make them motivated to do so?
Pressure from politicians, pressure from the media. Those two things are what causes government bureaucracies to act, and in particular, the Internal Revenue Service. So if you, listener out there, know someone that sits on the House or Senate budget committees that control the monies allocated to the IRS, write them a letter or call them up or go visit them in their offices and complain that the IRS is not doing their job when it comes to Scientology, that there is a $3 billion fund sitting there waiting to be taken by the IRS. They've got a shitload of money, so it actually ultimately could be a very remunerative thing. You remember David Miscavige saying at the event where he announced that he had won the war against the IRS and they had granted tax-exempt status, that there was $1 billion, that's with a B, dollars of outstanding tax assessments against Scientology that were all foregone by the IRS when they settled those cases.
Could you imagine?
Came to that settlement.
Just shame on them.
Shh. No shit.
I want to say one thing.
Go ahead, Mary.
Just to plead my case. The suffering continues. I mean, I don't know what the... If I was being tied up and tortured in this house and my neighbor knew about it and called 911, SWAT teams would be coming in to rescue me. Well, I suffer internally every day of my life. And I'm sorry, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
I mean, as a mother, it is just horrible to lose my son. And because you can't see my pain, and because I try to work through it and live my life and smile real big, people don't understand. Well, the IRS, Department of Justice, need to understand people are suffering. They are suffering because of the Church of Scientology. And they if they can stop it, please. I'm one person, but there are thousands of us suffering from the loss of family and friends and income and so much more inside of us that was taken because of the Church of Scientology, and they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it. This is not the intent of the First Amendment, to allow a group to inflict so much pain and suffering on people that were in it, and even people that are out of it.
Right.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
Done.
Here, here, Mary. Mary, they didn't take away the fight in you. They didn't take away your heart, and they didn't take away your hope. Because if you had no hope, Mary, you wouldn't be talking to us today.
Right, right. Sometimes I have no hope, but for the most part, I do.
And the same with us. And the same with us. You don't think there's days we want to give up and say, fuck this? You know, we do. We do.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we know if we do, we just wouldn't be who we are, who we really are, right? Which is people who got into Scientology because we all thought we were helping. And that is ultimately what is still within us, is a willingness to help and try to help people to avoid this kind of pain, for parents to avoid this kind of pain, for people to not give up their lives, what they work for, their everyday, for something that is a bridge that leads to nowhere except pain and emptiness. I mean, you're left with, you know, so many, like you're saying, it leaves so many scars in so many places inside of you that you're like, well, let's pick one to talk about today. Yeah, yeah, it's not just one thing, and I understand, Mary. I mean, my mom has her family. My mom is lucky enough to have her family, but there's something I'm still kind of sad for my mom, because this was something that she's known her whole life, and I see this kind of, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's almost like she's just sad. I feel like the sadness is still there, even though she has her family. She doesn't have her friends, and she spent her whole life in this thing. She dedicated everything to them, only at the end of it to kind of go, I mean, to go, none of that meant anything. None of that was real. Right. And I don't, it just left her so... It's not just when you have your family, you come out of this unscathed. You miss, there's a whole mission that you're now devoid of, right? You had this fake mission, this purpose for living, which was you're helping to save the planet and you're helping to save people. And then you don't have that anymore, right? You just don't have that anymore. When people look at you and go, what'd you do with your life?
And an innocence and a really innocence has been betrayed, and a really good intention has been betrayed, and it leaves something inside of you just feeling, oh, like, can I have that 30 years back?
Right, right. Yeah, and that's not easy to get over.
Yeah.
That is not easy to get over. And so, you know, I don't know, Mary, I wish I had something to say that was profound. But just know that you're loved, Mary, and that you are helping so many people. You're helping so many people every time you open your mouth.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate what you and Mike are doing and other people. There's a handful of people that are just pounding away at this thing day in and day out, and you two were two of them.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, we'll get there. I really appreciate it. I mean, we have to have faith and we have to have hope that eventually somebody will hear this or watch The Aftermath. That's now on Netflix. More eyes are on it. And, you know, really, that wasn't a plug. I hope somebody at the Department of Justice is just sitting at home one weekend watching Netflix and going, let me give this asshole a try. You know, look at this one from Brooklyn and this Australian idiot. You know, let me see what the fuck they have to say. You know, and hope that you all who bravely told your stories touch a piece of them that they think we need to do something. We need to help people who have been there, and we need to make sure that nobody goes there and has to deal with this kind of pain.
Right.
That's what we hope. Mikey?
Right.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say is, you know, it drives me every day.
Yeah.
The fact that my two eldest children remain disconnected from me, and beyond that, my daughter continues to attack me overtly. At least you don't have that, Mary, but
it's horrible.
That's not much of a consolation, I know. But it does drive me every single day that I seek to help others to avoid that which I have been through that I don't want them to have to experience.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do anything to change what's happened in the past. We can only do things to change what might happen in the future. We can't change what has happened to us, but we can change what may happen to others in the future. And also, you know, our relationships and our own lives, and Mary, Sammy, your son, and my son and daughter, hopefully at some point they will, you know, rise like phoenixes out of the ashes of the Scientology organization and come home. But there are a lot of people who we can save from suffering some of the pain that we have. That's what makes me get up in the morning. That is what drives me to work each day to do more and something that might help to expose that. So as Leah says, it's not a plug for The Aftermath on Netflix. It's all we live for is to get the message out as broadly as we can to as many people as we can in as many different ways as we can. And hopefully that saturation of message will ultimately result in the ending of these abuses, because that's what we're all about. That's my life.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you can't quantify how many lives you guys have probably already saved. You can't see it.
We didn't. You all continuing to speak out, you telling, it could have just been me and Mike talking, we would have affected nothing. But being the platform.
Especially us just talking.
I know, just hot mess. It's you all telling your stories, and it was you guys who the audience connected to with your real pain. Remember, we went from, this is just some crazy little innocuous Tom Cruise jumping on a couch. It might be a little wacky, to people going, this is some dangerous fucking criminal shit going on here. Yeah. And you guys achieved that. We created the vehicle, but it's because of your stories and your willingness to be brave enough to speak out. You could have gone away quietly, Mary, and the people who have appeared on our program or who come on this, or the two journalists who have the balls to write about Scientology, who were never Scientologists, or an Oscar-winning documentarian like Alex Gibney and Lawrence Wright, and people who, you know, the one person who had the balls to write the Time magazine article in the 80s, you know, there's a few people who were willing to put their necks out. And that's the truth. Yeah. It's not hundreds, Mary. It's a few. Maybe not a few. What would you say, Mike? Through history, people doing blogs, people posting things. Well, 100 at best?
What I'll say is I wouldn't put a number on it. I'd just say not enough.
Yeah, not enough. We haven't
got there yet.
Right. Yeah, right. Not enough people are doing the work. So to the people that are, and that includes you, Mary, we thank you. All right, till next time.
Thank you. Yes. It's a team effort.
Yes, exactly. Mary, we love you. Mary, we love you. And to those who support us and to those who have spoken out, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please continue. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye, Mary.
Bye.
Bye, Mikey.
Bye.
And we'll... Okay, I was about to do it. That's okay. So wait, tell me again, because I didn't actually hear it. No. Just tell me what to say. Okay. Listen, we also, hey, Mike, everybody, we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Because we will not be airing until our next episode of Scientology Fear Game will not be airing until December 8th. But this Thanksgiving, just remember, there are people who don't have, right? Like Mary's family and many people in Scientology who don't have those family members at their table. And I'm not going to go there, Mike, with the deaths and stuff like that. So maybe you could say it a little bit more. Actually, Mike, you say this part. So we're not going to air until December 8th, but we want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Mike?
Yes, indeed. And enjoy the time with the family that you have. Yes. And yes. Think of those whose families have been disconnected from on yes. Thanksgiving, and see if you can figure out something that you might be able to do to help change that for next Thanksgiving.
Love that. All right, you guys, till next time, December 8th.